Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord,
how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens.
Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens.
Psalm 8:1.
Psalms 139:18. If I should count your thoughts, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Psalm 139:18. If I should count your thoughts, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Psalm 139:18. Children, please stand for Bible class. Before we begin, we should get in fellowship. To get in fellowship, all we need to do is confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take a moment of silent prayer and take care of that, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us another day to study your word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today we can know more about you as a person, so we can take on your thinking and grow more spiritually and be able to take on the problems of this life through you. We pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so up to this point we've looked at in Christ and all what that encompassed. And for us it is a broad spectrum. We saw it. It included our, from the point of our salvation, it went through our phase two of our relationship with Christ and finally culminated in eternity. And we also saw where Paul had showed us the importance of the relationship in Philippians 3, 7 and 8. And 9. So what Paul said was that this relationship not only is important, but it's the most important thing in our lives. And he showed us that by referring back to priorities in his life and saying that what was once important in his life was now he considered as damaging or of loss to him. So part of the Paul's point was that we're never standing still in our spiritual life. We're either moving forward or we're moving backwards, but we can't maintain one spot. We're always moving either backwards or forwards. He explained that by showing, again, what was important in his life. And for him, it started with his position, and it followed through in his relationship with Christ. So the high importance that we saw from that, I thought, was a neat transition to looking at a faithful believer, because without the position and the relationship, there is no faithful believer. We have to start first to be a believer, and then secondly to continue in that relationship. So the transition of that was thanks to the Holy Spirit. But because of the faithful believer, the faithful believer can't exist without first the position and second a relationship, which includes the consistent intake and application of the Word of God. And we can't ever forget the application, because it's easy to, the intake sometimes becomes a habit, But when we get in the problem, in the rut, we forget about applying the doctrine that we've learned. So the high importance of this relationship is number one priority in our Christian life. So this is why phase two is so critical, because we also can't rely on God until we know something about Him. So that's why this phase is critical. We have to know Him as a person. We have to know Him personally in order to think like Him. In order to take on His thinking, we must get to know Him. Isaiah 30:18 says, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him." So what that's telling us is that He's waiting, not on Himself, but He's waiting on us as believers in Jesus Christ to trust Him, to grow in faith and knowledge of Him, is what He's waiting on. So the main point of this verse is that we can't rely on Him until we know something about Him. And in order to do that, He's waiting on us to grow in a relationship with Him. So He waits on us. So in order to have, we saw in Hebrews 11:1, that confident expectation that we all grow to, we must know the object of our confidence. And we saw a little bit about that's a process. That's not just a one-time weekend warrior show up and go home type scenario. This is a process. It takes the daily function of you being in fellowship and taking in the Word of God. So not only is your relationship with Christ a process, it's also what comes right alongside of it is our faith. Our faith in God is also goes with the process. It strengthens as we go and grow and learn about Him. So faith goes hand in hand with our spiritual priorities. The longer we grow spiritually, the more our faith is redirected from handling life with the physical means to the spiritual means. And that's an important piece of this, because it's easy to take the physical and put it on top priority over the spiritual. Very easy thing to do if you're not in the Word consistently. So, along with this confident expectation, we saw that the word we looked at was in the passive voice, which I didn't expect. So our confident expectation is supplied not by us. The confidence comes from God Himself. So not only do we have the opportunity to learn more about Him and grow spiritually, but He's providing the confidence in us towards Him. And also that supply is continuous. It never goes away. And how do we know that? Because the present tense told us so. He never gets tired of us. He never goes to sleep. He never forgets about us. And of course, we're reminded of verses that come to our brain when we think of God never forgets about us. One of those is 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. That's a good thing to know. We've been talking a lot about spiritual, the word spiritual life, spiritual person. And I came across, I guess, a worldly definition of spiritual. And I just wanted to read it because I think it's interesting to see what someone maybe that is a believer but not growing spiritually, their view of what a spiritual person is. So here it goes. Let's see. Being a spiritual person is synonymous with being a person whose highest priority is to be loving to yourself and others. A spiritual person cares about people, animals, and the planet. A spiritual person knows that we are all one and consciously attempts to honor this oneness. A spiritual person is a kind person. You know something that was missing? God. that could almost be sold and bought if you didn't know enough about the Word of God. The highest priority is loving, being loving to yourself and others. What is happening here is the results of spirituality are being attempted to be laid out for us. But being spiritual has nothing to do with what we do. It's a result of being spiritual. And what is being spiritual for us? Well, the hint is in the word Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be involved in spiritual. And for us, spiritual is being filled with the Spirit. And there's no other spiritual. Whether it's yoga, whether it's staring at the moon, whether it's you fill in the blank. But the only spiritual there is through confession of sin, cleansed from all unrighteousness, and filled with the Spirit. So a person can't be spiritual or even faithful without first being a believer in Jesus Christ, and secondly, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's the spiritual piece. So God's design for us is being in fellowship, controlled by the Holy Spirit, so that we are then able to glorify Him and advance to maturity. So now we've come to our back to our verse, which I'd like to move forward just a tad today, to Hebrews 11:1. And we'll actually move to the second verse. And I'll read it. Starting at verse 1, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. And some of your translations say different things there. Gained approval is the NASB. You've got received their commendation, obtained a good report, had witnesses born to them, were commended for, obtained a good testimony. Did I cover them? Received God's commendation. I got that one. So these are just different translations of the word that I wanted to look at today. So this word is an interesting word, as they all are, right? The word they're using where it says, for by it the men of old gained approval, in my translation. Gained approval is the Greek word martyreo. And the use of it here, it's a verb. And it's in the third person singular, aorist passive indicative, and it means to bear witness, to testify, give evidence, or proof. Now this word really doesn't give you the meaning of it in the English translation, which is surprising. To bear witness, to testify, to give evidence or proof. Remember, this isn't a noun, this is the verb. This is an action. Something's happening. Something's taking place in our lives. And we're moving and we're part of this. So let me read you the definition of testify. And this is in a day-to-day life, the human sense. To make a formal declaration under oath for the purpose of establishing a fact, as in a court case. So, we are currently testifying or giving evidence through our life of our stance in Christ. To bear witness, to testify, to give evidence or proof. So our role is a lot larger than we sometimes think it is. Because remember, when you give witness, you're not involved in it alone. There's others involved. And if the angelic conflict is kind of coming behind in your back of your mind, you're right. Because we've got the human part of this and we have the angelic part of this. So we are witnesses and we are giving our evidence through our life. So let's look at the aorist aspect of this. The aorist usually means a point in time. So the author here is speaking about Old Testament believers. And if you go down in the Hebrews verse, you'll see that. He speaks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. So the point in time is looking back on the events of their life that gave evidence of their reliance on God through faith, is what he's referring to. So just as he's looking back here on their lives of a specific event or events in their life that took place, we too look back in our lives at events. And we will look back on our life as a whole one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And remember, it's a known fact, but sometimes it seems like it's worth bringing up, that we aren't judged for sins when we die. We don't go to heaven and are judged for our sins. That's already been done, taken care of. We're judged by what we do. Not only what we do, but how we do it. So it's always about motivation on why we do what we do. Whether it's under the filling of the Holy Spirit or not. So the good news for us is that we're not to that point where we're looking back. Even though there is part of our life that is in the aorist tense, it's a point in time, and we do look back at that. And there's always been things that we look at and we bypassed, or we've missed an opportunity, or we wish we would have done something different and gone a different direction in life. Everyone has those things that they wish they would have done differently or could have done. But the good news is, we're not to that point. We are in the testimony right now. Right now. So everyone has something that they wish they could have changed, but we can make that change now. Because your life isn't over. It's not over until God says it's over. Your testimony continues until the very last breath you take. I'm reminded of Seize the Opportunity. And the verse that came to me was one we just studied, Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time. Which is an interesting word, which we've learned about, but the word means redeem, to take full advantage of, rescue from loss, to buy up. And the sense is to buy up at a marketplace. Anybody ever been to a grocery store? I like using this example because it makes sense. Right before a hurricane hits, the bread, the milk, the eggs are gone. And have you ever been in there with people trying to get to things? They're not concerned about you. They're concerned about that food. Where, and you know, if there's any left, where's the ice? Where's all this other stuff? So the sense here actually says buy up at a marketplace. So for us to redeem the time, we should be going into the market of life and taking our time back, taking advantage of it, because every moment counts. And I know we're human. We can't seize every minute of every moment, but we can keep this in mind that we do need to seize the buying opportunity, because at a point it will all become the aorist tense and we'll all be at the point where we look back on it. But it's not there yet. It's not there yet. So the passive voice, it is in the passive voice, which we know the subject receives the action of the verb, which is interesting. This is good. This is almost a relief to me. The passive voice is telling us as individuals that we are incapable of our own of giving a testimony that God approves of. Because it doesn't come from us. It doesn't originate from us. So what it's saying is, we are given the testimony. So God is only satisfied with us when He is in control and working through us. And that should take a burden, a load off of you. Because it's not necessarily what you could conjure up and do and go out and serve food. And you get the point. The point is that the God of this universe is powering you to live this life through the Holy Spirit. And that's the point. So the only way our lives can be a positive testimony is through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And it's the only testimony we can give that's valid. Because remember, we're not judged on what our sins are. We're judged off of what we do. And not just what we do, but how we do it. And here we're seeing that the passive voice is telling us that we receive the validation from the Holy Spirit on what we do. So remember, the one thing that we need to take a step back from and remember that Paul is speaking to believers. He's speaking to Hebrew believers here. And what's happening is they've come out of the legalistic religion and they're believers in Jesus Christ and they've been going down a certain path for a while and they're starting to experience some persecution. And now they're starting to say, wait a minute. Can I tap out? Can I stop? Can I throw the flag in? And the reason they were doing that is because there was stuff happening to them that might make you question your faith as well. So the circumstances were causing them to waver and they were tempted to return to Judaism. So they'd suffered imprisonment, confiscation of property. Some had stopped coming to church, whether that's justified or not. I say no because the verse says that it isn't. Yet they had not faced martyrdom yet. So they hadn't gotten to the point where they're killing him. But they are getting to the point where it's getting tough to be a Christian. It's getting hard. So they hadn't broken free of the legalism, and they were considering just throwing up their hands and say, this isn't worth it. It's not worth it. And you know, sometimes we do the same thing. We do. Don't we? We're, as Christians, if you stay on this path you're on now, it's not necessarily going to get easier. It's going to get tougher. But at the same time, you have the tougher tools to handle the situation. So in one aspect, things aren't going to get easier, but in another aspect, they are going to get easier for you because of who and what God is, not because of who and what we are. Don't forget that piece. So we need to remember what this verse is pointing back to. It said in verse 2, it said, for by it, by what? By what? By faith. By it. Where's the verse? It says, for by it, the men of old gained approval. There's our word. By what? Well, verse 1 says faith. Faith. So this verse is telling us that only through faith can our lives be evidence of, to Christ. Trusting on Him, relying on Him when the times get hard. Because when you think about it, only through faith do we allow God to do what He already desires to do for us, on your behalf. He's waiting. He's sitting on His throne waiting for us to trust, to let Him do the work, to let Him take advantage of it and run with it. So for us, we do have a responsibility in a sense. Even though the burden is taken off of us from the passive voice, it's telling us that we receive the testimony, we still have volition. We still have volition and a decision to make to continue to be a testimony. And remember, God is not pleased with what we can do for Him, but what He can do for us, and this requires our cooperation through our positive volition. We always have to remember that we're here on earth and we represent a higher thing. Sometimes we get caught up in this and those people who we see, and you know, we get caught in the circumstances, but we are representatives. We all have our uniforms on, and it says Jesus Christ. And when you go out into the world, remember, you see the 18-wheelers just call this if I'm driving too fast? Well, that applies to us as Christians, because people and angels are looking at your testimony. So it's not actually the what's going on in your life. It's not how hard it is in your life. It's how are you handling it. That's the testimony. It's how are you taking advantage of what God has given you in the situation. Are we going to have hardship? Yes. Is it going to be tough? Yes. Are you going to think, why am I going down this Christian road? I could have done this, and this. It sure would have been a lot easier. No, it wouldn't have. Because you wouldn't have had the means and the tools to deal with the problems. Then you would have been on some kind of pill or in a loony bin. So we learn how to handle the situation by giving it up to God. So the testimony piece is through our life, and we ourselves are the evidence. We are the piece of evidence that's being brought into the courtroom and set on the table. Some evidence is weak and some evidence is strong and will turn a complete court case based on one piece of evidence. And that's what we should look to be. So the issue is, once I'm going to say that again because that's very important. The issue is not the adversity, it's how we handle the adversity. The issue is, are we glorifying God instead of wanting to toss in the towel? That's what we need to rotate the thinking, our thinking in. Do we want to throw in the towel, or do we want to glorify God? The issue is not retreating in adversity, but letting God take the stress and the worry. The issue is not becoming a victim of your circumstances, but staying on the offensive through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Offensive. Offense. We are playing offense in here. When you get on the defense, you're going to start backpedaling. We've got to stay on the offense. The only way we can do that is through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That is the only way to stay on the offense. The noun form of this is martus. And it does mean witness, but it's also where we get our word martyr. Martyr. It should have rung a bell when I said the verb form, martyreo. The definition of a martyr is a person who voluntarily suffers death as the penalty of witnessing to and refusing to renounce a religion. Or I like this one better, a person who sacrifices something of great value and especially life itself for the sake of a principle. Wow. That should remind you of a specific verse in the Bible. And I'll read it for you if it doesn't. Philippians 2, 4 and 8. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You can't pay for this anywhere. We must remember that our suffering in this life is for an infinitely higher purpose than our own. And you should actually be honored to be in the adversity that you're in. Because God knows what you can handle. God knows how much you can take. And you're in it not to hurt you, but to help you. It's for His glory and for our benefit. His glory, our benefit. Even though we don't necessarily know the purposes in each individual reason, that's where the faith aspect binds it. We don't have to know. We don't have to know why or what or how or who or where. He does. So through adversity, we continue to grow our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where what it comes down to. And the indicative mood, finally, is the mood of reality. This is a reality. A reality check. But the reality of the indicative mood doesn't guarantee the reality of such a lifestyle. It doesn't guarantee it. It is a reality, but it takes your volition. It takes your volition. So you are a testimony. Remember that. And your testimony is not to get in the victim mode and saying, why me? It's to reverse it. Reverse the thinking process. This is for God's purposes to glorify Him through you. And guess what that's going to do to you? Grow spiritually, blessings in life, blessings in eternity. It's unending, the gain of this. I think that's a good place to stop. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. Thank You for letting us see that our lives are for a much higher purpose, and this suffering and adversity can be handled in a much easier and better way through You. And through the Holy Spirit, we thank You for that. And we'd also like to let anyone know that has never had the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that God loved the world so much that He sent His only uniquely born Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple. It doesn't take doing something. It doesn't matter what you did in your life or how you did it. The only thing that matters is what you think of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that He came to this earth to die for your sins? That's the main issue, is what do you think of Jesus Christ? We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. That means it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. We thank you so much for having the gift available, so all we need to do is accept it. We thank you for this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.